Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the gospel lesson which you have just heard, John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, are we ready for this text just yet? I'm not sure I am. In this past Sunday's gospel, we stood before the empty tomb. We saw the angels. We heard the words, "He is not here, but is risen." We got to soak in the scene. Now, today, we skip forward quite a bit. Our gospel lesson this day, John chapter 21, will also be the gospel lesson two Sundays from now, third Sunday of Easter. Now, it's certainly one of the great blessings of being here at the seminary that we get to observe days like Easter Wednesday, which has pericopes all its own, including this gospel lesson from John 21. At least, that's usually a great blessing. This time, I'm not quite so sure. I'm kind of like Dr. McKenzie yesterday, you know. I kind of like Easter Day to go on for a while. I kind of like to bask in the glow of Easter, not just for a day or two or three, but for weeks. I'm not sure I like the idea of moving quite so quickly from the empty tomb to Galilee sometime later. At least I'm not sure I'm quite ready for that. Now, the difference between Dr. McKenzie and me is that he's so cooperative, agreeable, that he's more than happy just to go along with moving on. Me, I'm more inclined to fight it. So I'm not sure that I'm really quite ready for all the implications of this particular text. Maybe some of you are like me. I want to sing "Jesus Christ is risen today." Today. Again. And again tomorrow. And for a lot of days. I want my college kids back in the pew, back at the communion rail with me for another Sunday or two or three. I want not just to know, but to glow in the fact that my Redeemer lives. I don't feel like grading sermons yet. I don't want to prep for a pastor's conference this coming weekend. Curtis, don't tell the pastors in Ohio that. I'm excited to be there. I'd just as soon have this placement stuff wait for a while. Like a long while. For weeks. I'm not sure I'm ready to move out of Easter Day just yet. I know all of us wish that we could hear "death is swallowed up in victory" continuously as clearly as Megan Eckhart now sees it. Oh, for Easter just to go on and on and on. We might want to make this text, today's text, a sit and glow text. More Easter Day. Another resurrection appearance of the Lord. Another assurance that because he lives, he will provide for us. John chapter 21, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter said to the others, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. "Cast the net out on the right side of the boat," And you will find some. And you know what happened? Our resurrected Lord did provide in a big way. Sit back and enjoy it. Unfortunately, our text won't let us just sit back and glow in Easter. In fact, it's really somewhat disquieting. I mean, really, what is this text doing here anyway? Right? The Gospel of John ended so neatly at the end of the previous chapter, the end of chapter 20. Right? Remember? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Such a nice ending already. So maybe this isn't just another resurrection appearance. Then, once the disciples catch all those fish, we can't help but remembering the first time this happened, right? In Luke chapter 5. And you know how it ended up that time. Jesus said, "From now on, you'll be fishers of men." This is starting to sound like work. Now there's that funny number in our text, verse 11. Simon Peter hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. I don't know what to do with that, but ancient commentators claim that 153 represented the total kinds of fish in all the world. You know, as in, into all the world. And one more. In Luke 5, the first time we had this great catch of fish, the nets were torn. This time, again, verse 11, although there were so many fish, the net was not torn. None getting away. Every soul the fishers of men were supposed to catch gets caught. Now, that definitely sounds like work. This text won't let us sit and glow in Easter. This text has an unmistakable pressure pushing us to see it as a call for us to go fishing. Are we ready for that? Just yet? Yes, I know you are really ready to get a call, to get a vicarage, to get paid. But, are you ready to step out of your comfort zone and commit to making those evangelism visits every Monday night for the rest of your life? Are you ready to ask yourself whether business as it's always been done at your congregation is really the best way God is making available to catch all those fish that he intends for you to catch? Are you really ready to speak of Christ to someone you've never met before, whom God causes to swim by today? Today. Not glow in Easter for 7 weeks till Pentecost. Today. Obviously, I'm not really ragging on the lectionary. I'm asking whether I'm ready just yet to do what this text is calling me to do. The only other boating incident in John's gospel is recorded in John chapter 6. That time, Jesus came walking to the disciples on the sea. The disciples are terrified. So Jesus says, "It is I. Ego I me." And you know what happened that time too, right? Peter got out of the boat. This time, verse 7, "That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.'" This time, Peter dives in. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, literally again, "It is the Lord," he put on his outer garment, for he is stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. Very Peter. If it is I, if it is the Lord, giving us the catch, then Peter is ready for action. And it is the Lord who's giving us the catch. Verse 12, "When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' None of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?' They knew it was," and yes, a third time, literally, "it is the Lord." Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. It is none other than the eternal I Am who went to the cross for us. Who went to the cross that you and I would each be snagged in his net forever. It is the Lord who lives to bless me with his love, to plead for me above. It is the Lord who lives to grant me rich supply, to guide me with his eye, including guiding the words of my lips as I speak his name. It is the Lord who lives to silence all my fears, including my fear of rejection by fish that just refuse to get caught. It is the Lord who lives and grants me daily breath. And every single day of life on earth for a purpose. It is the Lord who gives us the catch. And if it is the Lord, then we are ready to go fishing and ready for this text. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.